Good morning. You may want to sit closer to each other. Might be a little chilly. We just skipped right over fall, went right into winter, apparently. And yesterday was very cold. Today is nice and cold. And it reminds us the Lord's in charge, and hallelujah for that. A few announcements here. We will not have evening service here this evening. There is a community-wide Thanksgiving service that'll be happening at the First United Methodist Church here in Edna at 6 o'clock. We will be attending that as part of the Minister Alliance. If you can make it there this evening, that would be great. I do want to say we have visitation at 1 o'clock and service at 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary for Miss Catherine Harvey, passed late Thursday evening, and the family would like to meet today and take care of that service. And so we're going to accommodate them. And so be in prayer for them if you can come and be a part of that. I know they would appreciate that as well. We do not have activities this Wednesday evening as it is the day before Thanksgiving. The office will close at noon on that Wednesday and will be closed until Monday, November the 28th. So be mindful of that. If you have any church business need to take care of, do that before Wednesday at noon. The wish tree stars are available on the tree in the foyer. You may have noticed the tree set up with the stars there. The gifts are due back Sunday, December 11th. Be sure that you fill out the appropriate information on the list there, your name and the list with the number that's on the star. Be sure to read your bulletin. There is a lot going on in these days as we're preparing for this holiday, and then Christmas will be right upon us very quickly. Christmas Day will be a Sunday. We will be in the sanctuary on that morning. We will be observing Lord's Supper and candlelight service that morning. And so if you have family here, we encourage you, come be a part of it as we celebrate our Christ together. And so read your bulletin. Thank you for your attention at this moment. And I would invite Brother Joe McClanahan to come and pray our invocation this morning.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Father, we praise you. We have come to worship you. Lord, we, your children, we are humbling ourselves under your mighty hand. And Father, you are our Redeemer. We need you, Lord. You are the giver and the sustainer of life eternal. We come to bring our worship and our commitment to you, O Lord. O Spirit of Truth, guide us to your very throne of mercy today. Use Brother Robert mightily through your word, dear God. Lord Jesus, we turn to you. We believe in you. Take all our sorrow. Take all our fears. Take all our doubts and take all our pride. Give us trust in you. Give us your very spirit and presence now. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you please stand and join us on Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Our precious dear, that grace appeared the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen. Our next hymn is going to be 202, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We're going to do all four verses. I do want to let you know that today when we walked in, our microphone decided not to work on the piano. Okay, and we think it's an issue here in our box, but we won't have a good chance to look at that till later. So just want to let you know. So some of you in the back may be singing more a cappella, and so I don't have to. I'm going to stand over here, okay? You'll appreciate that later, I promise you. Okay, let's sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saved you by His grace, and crown Him Lord. Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. Do Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all.
Amen. Next hymn number 203, His Name is Wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time, this day that we can gather. Lord, I pray that You be with us as we worship You, as we try to honor You. I just ask, Lord, that You be with each and every one of us here. Guide us and direct us. Be with Brother Robert as he tries to bring this message, and may we take it with us throughout the week and apply it to our lives. May we honor You and glorify You in all that we do and say. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare for our message today and in this week with Thanksgiving, I hope you have thanked God for things that you're thankful for. This song we're going to sing is Give Thanks, and I believe it's one you're going to know, but give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Okay, sing that with us, please.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am
Houston and choir, and Lynette Whitley serving at the piano this morning. We appreciate her. Back in earlier days when I was in grade school, I remember in history we learned about the pilgrims. Just a little recap here. Way back in 1620, some 100 people set sail on a ship named the Mayflower. They were seeking religious freedom. They were living in England, and there was great oppression over those who believed in believers' baptism, who did not comply with the Orthodox Church there. And so they became known as separatists. In December, that group landed at Plymouth Harbor. When they left, they formed the first permanent settlers of Europeans in New England, known as Pilgrims. They've been members of a Puritan faction known as English Separatists and had initially landed in the Netherlands and then from there arrived in the land known as the New World. They had a leader called Miles Standish. He was a military leader. The other leader was William Bradford, who was the leader of the congregation, known as the Separatist Congregation. They were unified before they ever got on land because while on the ship, a group of 41 of those men signed a document that's been called the Mayflower Compact. And they agreed to come together as a civil body to be unified and to be a people that followed after God, after the dictates of the Lord and the conscience of their heart, and that document became the foundation for the government in those days. It took several months before the settlers actually moved off the ship and onto the land. It was winter time when they arrived, and so it was very brutally cold, and more than half the settlers died in that first winter. But in April 1621, after the death of the settlement's first governor, John Carver Bradford was unanimously chosen as his replacement. Later, the fall of 1621 is when the Pilgrims would share in a feast with Native Americans that they had befriended, and that became the basis, the foundation for the first Thanksgiving holiday. Today we celebrate a day set aside, and we observe that. And it's become very commercialized like everything else in our world, but it was originally formed so that we might give thanks to God for the provisions that He has made for us. I think of many provisions in my own life, and I know you can think of many in your own life as well. Provisions that are material provisions, physical provisions. This time of the year, I'm thankful for indoors with heat. I'm thankful for clothing we can put on to be around us when we're out in this cool weather. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful for a home in which to stay. I'm thankful for a vehicle to be able to travel around. These were far out of the reach of many of those early settlers. But we can certainly be grateful for the physical and material things that the Lord has given to us. And the Bible does not command that we have a particular day for that. I mean, there's no place in the Scripture where the Lord tells His people, I want you to do this of thanksgiving on this day. But there were other celebrations. There were three main feasts that the Jews had in their day that the Lord commanded of them. One was the Passover, if you remember that, their deliverance from Egypt. They were to celebrate that on an annual basis at a certain time of the year to remember that and be grateful that the Lord had delivered them from their bondage in Egypt after 400 years of being there. They also had a celebration God commanded that they celebrate Pentecost. And that would be at the beginning of harvest season when they bring in their first fruits and they would bring those to the Lord and they would celebrate the Lord beginning a harvest for them. And they would spend several days celebrating and eating, and then they'd get back to their crops and go out and work. And then the third specific feast was the Feast of Ingathering, also known as the Feast of Booths. But that's where they would bring in their harvest and they would celebrate the harvest that they had before the Lord. They'd spend several days feasting and eating and worshiping God doing that. That's found in Leviticus chapter 23, if you want to look up those three feasts. Later in Leviticus 25, the year of Jubilee was noted by the Lord. It would be every 50 years that the people of God were to understand that they had some people who had entered into slavery or who had sold themselves into slavery because they didn't have money. They were to be set free. If there were prisoners, they were to be set free. If there were people that owed of their substance or anything like that, they were to be set free. They were to have their land returned to them, and a great feast was observed at that time. Those are celebrations, and they mainly reflect upon thanksgiving. Being grateful for the blessings that they had, for the way God had provided for them, and the way that God had cared for them. We can find through Scripture in the Psalms and in the prophets many reminders for believers to be grateful to the Lord. Many of the Psalms tell us to praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. And why to do it? Because He's good. His mercy endures forever. He is a good God. He does good. He's a God who's righteous. He's a God who's holy. He's a God who watches over His people. He provides for them. He protects them. He has provision for them. And God is just a good God. We are to be grateful. And the Psalms remind us of that. The prophets call the people to remember God and not forget Him, to be grateful for what He has provided for them as a special people. You go to the New Testament, we find abundant reminders. On Wednesday evening, I reminded those of you who attended our Wednesday night gathering that the Scriptures, two New Testament Scriptures specifically speaking to giving thanks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That no matter what the circumstances, we give thanks to the Lord God because we know He's working out something for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Also in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So there are specific commands for thanksgiving. Jesus has recorded in the Scripture an account where some lepers, there were 10 lepers that He healed, and they all went to the priest to verify they were cleansed, and one came back to give Him thanks. And his question was, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? And that was, to me, a lesson that the Lord calls us to be mindful, that we're to be grateful. Even in the smallest of blessings, the Lord is providing for us, and we should be mindful of that. So we see the Scripture drawing us to a conclusion that God desires recipients of His goodness to give thanks, to acknowledge those gifts, to acknowledge the blessings, and then to return thanksgiving to Him for that. So our worship, our service to the Lord God, it should be offered out of gratitude to the Lord God, not only for what He's given us, but because of who God is. I think it gets lost in the shuffle, sometimes at Christmas as well. We get lost in the presents and all of the commercialization of the holiday, and we forget what it's really all about. God sent His Son. He gave a gift. While we give gifts, we should not forget God gave the greatest gift man could ever receive of His Son to come and die for our sins so we might have eternal life. And in Thanksgiving's the same. We should remember that God has provided for us in season, out of season. Sometimes in the weirdest of circumstances, God has been faithful to make sure that we're provided for in some special way. Even through times of difficulty, even in times of celebration, we can look to God and know that He is providing. This morning, I just want us to briefly look at a passage out of the little letter of Colossians that the Apostle Paul penned to this church. At chapter 2, verses 6 to 10, I would ask you to stand with me. We're going to read these passages, kind of examine the context a little bit, and then look at the verses here for some foundational reasons for being sure that we are overflowing with gratitude. Verse 6 of chapter 2 in Colossians, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you've been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority." Let's pray together. Father, our desire, Father, is to hear Your heart through this apostle to this church and then to our hearts in the 21st century. Lord God, speak to us this morning. Give us ears that hear. May Your Spirit have freedom to move the words off the pages of our books and into our hearts so that, Lord God, we might be motivated and reminded not only of the blessings You poured out into our lives, but Father, also for who You are. Help us to be overflowing with gratitude. This is what You call Your people to. Lord God, may we be found good stewards of that exercise and discipline. To Your glory, we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. When you read this entire letter, Colossians, and some of you, perhaps you've never read this letter. It's only four chapters. It does not take very long to read it. But we find the Apostle Paul encouraging a congregation and pointing to the centrality of Christ Jesus regarding their relationship with God. We can get caught up in the minutiae of all other things if we're not careful to keep our minds on Jesus. The Apostle Paul does just that in this letter. He's pointing to Christ from the get-go. We find him in his greeting. He says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae." He's writing to believers. He then gives thanks to God because these folks that were in this church had a testimony that he had heard about. He said in verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith, we've not stopped praying for you. Your faith in Christ Jesus, the love you have for all the saints, and because you have a hope laid up for you in heaven, and you trust in that because you previously heard the word of truth, the gospel that's come to you." The world was testifying about this little church. Paul heard about it. He commended them. And then he challenged them to keep Christ in the forefront. And when you look at chapter 1, verse 13, down through 22, and I am going to read this. This will replace some of my speaking, which will be good, because we'll hear from God and not me. Paul writes, "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." I know of no one else that can do that for us. No one else. Paul's pointing to Christ, and he's making sure we're reminded that this is the one who has done a God powerful thing in transferring us from one kingdom of death into a kingdom of life. No one else could do that. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created. He's the creator, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. He's created all those things. All those have been created by him, for him. And he's before all things. That is, he existed before all things came to be. That's the only way he could create them. And in him all things hold together. He continues to sustain those things over the course of time. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's the Christ that Paul speaks of, who is the Savior of the soul. Let me tell you something. If you've trusted Christ and you have salvation, the Holy Spirit in you will assure you of that. He will bear witness with your spirit you're a child of God. This is the Savior who saved you. He is very God. He is the Creator. He's the one who sustains all things. He's not forgotten about us. And he deserves to be seen as an exalted God and not just as some kind of religious icon. He is the all in all. We should be grateful for that. We've been saved by that God. Paul goes on, and in verses 26 to 27, of course, all of the letter's great. Read it today. I would encourage you. He's talking about carrying out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery that's been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul wants them to recognize that this salvation, it's your hope. There's nothing else that matters in life, this hope. And it was hidden in past ages, but now manifested in Christ to those who believe. And God has willed to make that known and to pour out his riches into the life of those who believe. What a marvelous God. Should we not be grateful for such a God who has been mindful of man, and he has allowed us to know him in such a marvelous way through this blood of Christ Jesus, who came and offered himself willingly. Paul had commended these believers. We mentioned that a moment ago. And as we move into verses 6 through 10 of chapter 2, we find this exhortation, an explanation, as you were. He's speaking again to believers, and he says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him." It's a challenge, and it really is a challenge to us. But the Lord's faithful to provide so we can do so. The first thing I noticed when I looked at this passage of Scripture was that word, "we have received." And I think about the word "received," I think about a gift. I think about him giving us something. You know, when I looked that up in my little reference tools, because I am not a Greek scholar, but in the reference tool I have in my office with the Greek words, there are 19 words for receive in the Greek language. 19 words. This specific word, let me read it because I'm not sure I could tell you this, paralambano. Paralambano. One out of 19, at least 19 other words for the word receive. And this word means specifically in this verse to receive from another. You might say, well, duh. Well, the others have other connotations regarding receive, but this says to receive from another, and I think it's important for us. The Bible teaches that the gift of God is Jesus Christ the Lord. That God gave him as a gift, and we receive it from him. He's the one who passes it on to us. We have received this from another. In fact, this another is greater than all. He is the Lord God himself. And this gift of salvation of the soul is given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? There are a lot of understanding of who Jesus is in this world. Well, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus who was prophesied to be born of a virgin and then was, and the Jesus who gave himself as a sacrifice for sin, the Jesus who, in that faithfulness of offering himself as a sacrifice and doing so perfectly, was raised up to life bodily, and then was ascended into heaven bodily before the very eyes of his disciples. And the promise that he gave us, he's going to come again in the same fashion one day to receive us to himself and then set up a kingdom. All of these things are a blessing from the Lord God. But when you look at this, is the one the Lord God's given to us, this gift. It doesn't just last yesterday or just today, but it is a forever gift. It's better than any gift you and I can give to others outside of sharing the story of Christ with others so that their hearts might be converted. Look, we can love someone in this life, perhaps spend 70 years married to the same person, and loving that person, it is not as great as the salvation that God gives to man. We ought to be grateful for that. We have received something that God has given to us. We received it from another. And because of that, we are to walk in him. The exhortation, the encouragement that Paul has to the church here, because you've received Christ Jesus, walk in him. Walk the way Christ did. If you have any doubt about what that means, read the gospel accounts. Read Matthew by itself. Read Mark by itself. Read Luke or John by itself, and then read them all together. You see how Jesus walked, how he commanded his disciples to walk, how he rebuked them at times when they weren't acting the way he wanted to. Oh, Lord, should we just go ahead and call down fire out of heaven on this place because they rejected you? No, that's not how I walk. How do I walk in life is contrastly different from how the Lord Jesus calls us to walk in life. We are to find ourselves day by day yielding ourselves to how he walked. And this is the challenge the Apostle Paul was giving to them. Thank the Lord that he's given us a model and an example to follow. He's given us a gift, and in that gift is very life. It is what will honor the Father. It is where we receive favor from the Father as we walk in him. And sometimes that favor looks a little bit different. We might say, well, why do good people suffer? Well, that's because of sin. Don't blame it on God. It's because of sin, man's sin. And the effect of that sin. Sometimes you're walking perfectly righteous and someone else's sin affects you. Sometimes you're just living life and a disease attacks you. Oftentimes, trouble is not because you've done something wrong. Now, there are times when it is such the case. But what we find is that we are to be grateful that the Lord God provides the Savior through one he's given to us, and then equipped us to be able to walk in him. When he saved believers, he put his Holy Spirit inside of you. That Holy Spirit brings fruit and giftedness so that you might walk in him. Those are provisions from the Lord. We should be grateful and thank him. Verse 7 gives us even more clue. You have been firmly rooted and are now being built up in him and established in your faith. These are gifts from God, that you are firmly rooted in him. Oftentimes in the scripture, in Psalm number 1 and other psalms, blessed is a man who walks in the ways of the Lord. He's like a tree who's planted by the rivers of living water. And being planted, he grows in season, out of season, and he produces leaves. And his leaves produce shade and provision and sometimes food. He likens us to being rooted. There's a giant oak tree in this yard across the street that's been there for a long, long time. And there have been many storms that have come through here. And that tree has stood the test of time because it's rooted. The root system is probably as deep as the tree is tall. When we walk in Christ, we become rooted in Him, and there is security. This is speaking of the security of the believer. When you're in Christ, nothing can take that away from you. Christ Jesus gives us a security where we are rooted in Him, and then we're being built up in Him. And the Apostle Paul uses a lot of different phraseology to speak about this. One of those is being built up like stones up on one another, and we're on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and then with the cornerstone being Christ Jesus Himself, and we're being built up. Listen, your life is not just about being firmly planted. Listen, that's a past action. When you trusted Christ, justified, you were planted in Christ Jesus, that is a past action. It's in the perfect tense. It is established and it cannot be removed. Then as you're being built up, that is an ongoing process. It is the present. It is our sanctification. It is while we are growing in Christ and we're learning to be more like Him, learning how to walk in Him because we've received such a marvelous gift. And the Lord gives us that opportunity so we might grow in our faith and learn of Him. But note, the Apostle Paul in Philippian letter says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we often take that to say, so that's my responsibility. It is, but in cooperation with the rest of that verse, because it is God who works in you, both the will and to work His good will in you. It is a cooperation with the Father who's provided a spirit in you to give you understanding of Scripture so that you can apply that to your heart and then make proper decisions along the way. It is a cooperative effort between the Father and the believer through this Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit whom He supplied. We received from Him the Lord Jesus Christ first to secure our salvation and then the Holy Spirit to tie us up and hold us and then grow us to look more and more like Jesus. And why? Well, he goes on to say why. Not only that we're established, but that we're rooted and being built up, but that we become established in our faith. Listen, none of us is at the pinnacle of knowledge and understanding about your salvation and about the things of God. None of us. I don't want to brag. I've read this book 30 times, almost 40 times in my ministry, all the way through every year, and I can tell you there are still things that are unfathomable to my mind. But the more I read it, the more enthralled I am with what God has provided for us and how He has opened up understanding through this word so that we might be more established in our faith and not tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine that comes along, but we know where we stand in Christ Jesus. Stand in your faith. Trust Him. He establishes you there. And listen, anything you have in your faith will line up with the Scripture if it is good and true. So know your word. My 12 years of ministry here, you've heard me say that over and over again. You're probably getting sick of it. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. It has the keys to truth and life. In fact, this very passage reminds us that in Christ Jesus is all wisdom and understanding. There is none outside of that. What is Jesus identified as in the Gospel of John at the very beginning? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who was that? Jesus. The Word in flesh. Jesus, in Him is all the wisdom and understanding. In the Word is all the wisdom and understanding. It's not just a written document. It's a living Word. It is Christ Jesus Himself. We get to know Him as we read this Word, and we become more established in our faith, what we understand of Him. And that is great security for the believer. We find ourselves being called to Christ, we are rooted in Him, then we're being built up and then established in our faith as best as we can until we come into His presence. And all of that leads to overflowing with gratitude. At the end of that verse 7, that we're overflowing with gratitude. I would ask you this. We come into the season, we know we're going to be with family or friends, we're going to have a lot of food before us, and we're going to kind of be forced into this thing to be giving thanksgiving. But I would ask you, are you just stirring up something that's not really there, or are you really thankful? Are you considering not just physical material things you have, but the spiritual realities? As a believer, we have so much. We should be overflowing with gratitude. We should not forget that we have food on our tables and we have clothes on our back and that we have places to live. God's made great provision in that. We are a people who live in a lap of luxury in this nation. But we should never forget our salvation, because that is what is eternal and permanent. All we have here is temporary. It'll pass away. Listen, when I'm gone, I can't take my suits with me. I won't take my golf clubs with me. I'm just going to go. But I will have all riches in glory with him, because he's promised it. Not because I've done anything, but because he's promised it. I'm grateful for that. I've bungled up a lot of things. But he is faithful, and he's made good. When I've surrendered to him and walk in him, give him glory, he is faithful all the time, no matter how I mess things up. Then a challenge comes too in verse 8. Resist other gospels. Listen, we live in a day and time when there are other messages and other Christ being preached, other gospels, other church truths that are being preached. Listen to this. See to it that no one takes you captive. That is, makes you a prisoner through philosophy and empty deception that's according to the tradition of men or according to elementary principles of the world rather than according to Christ. If you're not focusing upon what God has given us in Christ Jesus, you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you're building your life on any other philosophy, any kind of empty deceit, you are not building your life on Christ. If you're trusting in the traditions of men, you're not building your life on Christ. The elementary principles of the world, what does that mean? The elementary principles of the world are the stuff that this culture dreams up from moment to moment. We got a lot of mistaken and misleading kind of elementary teachings in our world today. I will tell you, there are messed up kind of things in our world today. Don't fall for these false kind of understandings. Be careful. Yeah, and I'm going to step right in there. I feel like I'll pretty soon be preaching to a captive audience inside of a prison somewhere for this in the days to come. But what we find is that we live in a day where if you preach against homosexuality, if you preach against same-sex attraction or marriage, if you speak against it and stand with the Lord where the Lord stands on that, you will be labeled a bigot. You will be labeled someone who's a hate monger. And I believe that even if Jesus were standing here today, he would say, let's be obedient to the Father and what the Word has told us over the years. And Christ, with gentleness and great love in his heart, would call sinners to account. He did that regularly through the Gospels. And we are to do the same thing. If we're to walk the way Christ did, we are to do the same thing. We're not to be arrogant and self-righteous in proclaiming what God's Word has to say, but we are to be brokenhearted over the fact that people have fallen for false philosophies and for false ways of life. We should be brokenhearted over that, and we should come with tears, and we should come with pleadings in our heart, asking these souls to reconsider where they're headed. As we do that, then we can humble our heart before the Lord God. But the Apostle Paul says, be sure you don't fall for any of this empty deception. Traditions of men. Listen, there are some traditions of men that are good. But Jesus' biggest arguments in the New Testament, in the Gospels, was against religious leaders who held to the traditions of men and pushed aside the Word of God. We have to be careful we don't do that. If your traditions are good, if your traditions line up with God's Word, if your traditions exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, keep them. Don't let anybody take them from you. But if they lead you in another direction, get rid of them. Get out of them. Don't be misled. We are to be warned. Listen, we live in a day where a lot of the verbiage from the other side is sounding more and more reasonable. Be careful. Be very careful. Be loving. Be gentle. Be truthful. Stand with Christ. Listen, Christ will carry you through. There is persecution going on in the world for people who've stood up for truth and continue to stand up for truth, and they will not back down. And just as Hebrews 11 tells us, there are many that experience great miracles and their families being protected and having provision from God, but then there were others that were sawed in half, and others that were stoned, others that were hanged, and others that were left for dead and beheaded. We don't know the circumstances of standing on our faith, but we do know there's a God at the end who will bring us to that place He's promised through Christ Jesus. And for that, we can be grateful. Don't fall for empty philosophy. The Lord God has been faithful to provide this word. It's been protected and it's been preserved over the years so that we might have this document that leads us to know the Christ of the document. Resist any other gospel but that has been given through Christ Jesus. And then thirdly, and I found this in verse 9 and 10. I just wanted to make sure that it resonated. Again, this is what the Apostle Paul had been speaking of earlier in the text. And now refers to it again. In Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In Him you've been made complete. And He's the head over all rule and authority. He pointed back to Jesus, His right to rule. The fact that He was raised up bodily. Now, this was a big contention in those days. There were false teachers that came out of the woodwork saying, no, Jesus was a spirit. And when He was only physical while He was on the cross, and then after that He became spirit, He died bodily. He was raised up bodily. Jesus came and was God in flesh, just like the Old Testament said, Emmanuel, God in flesh. Will come. Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. He came. And while we can't understand it with our real educated minds, it is a reality that must be trusted and understood by faith. That's why we're a people of faith. Some things are just not comprehensible. Wake up. Trust the Lord. It becomes more believable. Listen, I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. I believe it. As crazy as it sounds, I believe it. I believe that when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, the lions stayed away from him and did not eat him because God's hand of protection was on him. Because just as soon as those enemies were thrown in there, they were gobbled up before they hit the ground, is what the text tells us. They were hungry. How was Daniel protected? By a God we can't explain. We should be grateful. That's the kind of God we have. Listen, if you can explain your God, you don't have the right God. Because our God's an unexplainable God. He's indescribable, incomprehensible. He has given us what we need to understand Him. And by faith, we can trust what things we do have before us. It really comes down to, thank you, Lord, for giving me ears that hear and eyes that see, a faith that trusts You. Because I know in my own flesh, in my own mind, in my own heart, I would reject these things. But You have made it so I would trust You. I thank You, Lord. I pray we would be grateful as we enter into this season to be mindful of those around us who may not agree with some of these things, maybe any of these things, but that we would be standing in faith. And like Paul, grateful that we have this kind of Savior. Listen, Paul was rotting away in a prison until he was finally taken out and beheaded. But he kept writing letters to the churches to encourage him and to trust this God, who was his Savior, was watching over him. He knew was helping him to be built up into the image of Jesus and had established for him a place in glory. That we can trust in. That should make us abound in thanksgiving. We should be overwhelmed with gratitude before the Lord God. There's no other power, no other power structure, past or present, political, economical, or racial, that has potential to be a viable rival to Christ Jesus. The world may tell you, there is. The world doesn't know this God. Do you? This is the one who gave. Father, Son, Spirit, one God. How do we explain that? We don't. We trust him. To have sent himself down and wrapped himself in flesh, took on our sin, which was an offense against him. And he paid the price in our stead through Christ Jesus so that we might know forgiveness and then have assurance of salvation. Then he secured life after this life. Overwhelmed with thanksgiving. We should all be. If you've not trusted Christ, I would say trust him. You might say, I have questions. Come talk to me. Let's talk about this. Don't wrestle it by yourself. Find someone that you know has studied the word, that someone that you know has walked with Christ. Talk with them. Don't just go on and listen to empty deception and the principles of the world. Let's trust Christ. He really gives us something to be grateful for. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everything. This morning, we've just kind of scraped the top of the cream, that there's much more. You're a provider. You're the creator. You're the sustainer. You're the finisher. You're a God who is faithful, even when we're not faithful. Lord God, you are good in circumstances that are difficult and hard. And you call us to be like you, which it's impossible on our own. Thank you for providing Christ. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for sealing us until the day you bring us to yourself. Lord God, there's so much for which to be grateful. Help us, Father, to get over ourselves, to lay aside our pride, to humble ourselves before your mighty hand so that in due time you'll raise us up at the right time. Lord God, we love you. Move us from where we are to where you want us to be. We pray in this hour in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. The altar is open. I will be here to pray with you, but let's take time to respond, please.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Gracious God, we do thank you for your grace, your provision in and through that grace. And Lord God, for the reminder this morning to look into your word and to think of our Christ and the gift that you have given us in him, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Father God, let that seep over and spill over into our earthly life. We give grateful thanksgiving to those around us who've been a help to us, who have been friends, to those who share in our sorrows and in our joys. Lord God, may we find many occasions to be grateful. And help that, Father, to be what motivates us to share your good news and your gift of Christ with others. Lord God, we thank you for every blessing. May we not be stingy with it, but good stewards to your glory. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. All right, Brother Houston will close us out this morning. would remind you, we don't have service here tonight, but at the First United Methodist Church, we will have a Minister Alliance Thanksgiving service. So encourage you to attend there. Thanks.
Hey, as we go this week and have Thanksgiving, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and safe travels if you'll be traveling. And as we meet with family this week and we are thankful for things and we give thanks, let's don't forget in all that we do, we always glorify God. And so our closing song today will be Glorify Thy Name.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Yeah. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name, glorify.
God bless. Have a great week.